Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
You're so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
So here's the senior crew ready for Friday. Brian Sexton, John Osier, senior writer, senior correspondent. Well, you know, I can't help. Do you remember what was the movie? And let's not forget executive producer Joe Fortunato, who is older than both of us. You remember the movie Cocoon? You remember the old guys, Dom DeLuise and that whole crowd?
I think it was Dom Amici.
Dom Amici. Yeah, very good.
That's right, yeah.
That's, your brain working.
Yeah, it was a terrific little 80s movie.
And they found the fountain of youth, and all of a sudden they were invigorated. And here we are on the cusp. We're not quite there, but close to vacation. I don't know about you. I'm invigorated.
So this is the pool? This is the...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like right in here. This area is
Maybe the pools are up top.
Our pool.
Maybe there's the fountain of youth.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
They're the fountain of something.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to know much more than that. But what I do want to know is what you think of this football team getting ready for the final week of their on-the-field, off-season activity.
Maybe I've just been listening to Doug too much, Doug Marrone. I don't know. You know, I think they have shown in the three that we can really talk about, which are the three that we've seen the whole thing. I think Marquise Lee looks like he's going to be a star next year if he can stay healthy, which I'm almost tired of prefacing that now with him because it's not fair because he's been healthy for, you know, almost two straight years now.
Right.
I think A-Rob looks like he's got a chance to be A-Rob again. I think if Blake can get in the ball and all the things we've talked about with Blake, if he can function, you know, it's hard for me to talk about the running game.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to know
right.
yet.
So you sort of watch for guys who look like they're ready and like, you know, and I think their receivers, Allen Hurns too. I mean, he looks like a different guy. His body looks different. He's clearly been taking care of himself and ready. It could be a interesting year on that front, but it all comes down to the quarterback. So I get the question. I don't know how to answer it based off OTAs, but I like those things. And for me, those things are about fourth-year guys, Hurns, A-Rob, and Lee, which I trust four-year guys, if you follow me, that what you see in OTAs might translate to the field. Sometimes when you see OTA spectacular second-year guy, somehow they don't know how to get that to the fall. I think those four guys can, or
well,
three guys.
Let me tell you why I went there. Because I kind of thought you'd start with the quarterback, because that's really the big story around
sure.
here. And when Doug was asked about the quarterback today and how much he would like the quarterback to throw the ball, his response was zero.
Yeah.
And everyone went, what?
Well, he wants to go back over to Bowles and run the wing tee.
Exactly. So. Yeah. The Veer offense,
sure.
he talked a lot about that from his days as a coach. And you realize right away that his personality is run the ball.
Right.
And so the question is this going to be a 50-50 team? And that's a real proposition
sure.
when you have Ivory and Fournette and Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin, but you also have the four guys that you mentioned.
Right. Well,
what's this team's personality going to be?
Well, I think this will be one of those situations, and it's sort of rare in the NFL, where you will be able to have a formula that statistically shows you a lot about where the team is, meaning if they're throwing as much as they did 2 years ago, or if they're putting up heady offensive passing numbers, they're probably not doing what they want to be. Now, that doesn't mean they can't be successful. I mean, we saw in 96, they threw the ball over the place, and you know, you can do it that way. But clearly, they would like, in their ideal world, there would be some sort of stat running that is eye-catching, and it's going to be discussed on ESPN. It'll be that sort of one-sided
like
nature.
The Titans were last year?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be that sort of look. Or the 49ers when they were really going with Frank Gore. You know, those teams can do it. That's clearly what they want to be. Can they be? I think that'll be – you'll be able to know if they're doing what they want to do. Not every team I've ever covered you knew that much based on a stat. You kind of had to get a feel for it. With this team, I think it'll be easy to know.
If they're 50-50, let's just assume that's where they're going to be.
But that'll be great.
Can you keep all the receivers happy? I mean, look, winning would make a lot of people around
Maybe
here happy.
Maybe not happy, but, you know,
In other words, are you playing to your strength?
What is
if you're,
happiness, Brian?
No. Well, no. Okay. But if your strength is your four-year guys, like you talked about,
right.
And you're right, and yet you're going with the running game because you drafted the kid.
Yeah.
And you're still trying to test the quarterback. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of variables to this offense. It's an interesting conversation.
I think the reality in the NFL, and Doug alluded to this a little bit after he had some fun with the zero thing, and Coughlin gets this. I bring up Tom. I know he's not running the offense, but his stamp will be all over it. You've got to throw. Even if you're a great running team, I think Mariota even had like in the 400s last year in terms of passes.
451 attempts.
Which, you know, they really wanted to run, and he still had 450. Right. So that's what?
About 200 times, 200 fewer attempts than Blake
right,
did
but here. 450 translates out to almost 30 a game, I think maybe 28. Will that keep him happy? Maybe not, but it's also not going to be the 32 Bears where you know, where the ball's never going in the air.
I like the 34 and the 37 addition to the Bears a little bit better, but I get you where you're going. 32.
Skins won it in 36.
Yeah,
I that one,
yeah,
so.
Exactly.
But my point being,
going real senior there.
I think you don't want A-Rob Hearns putting up the numbers they did in 2015, and I know they want to put up those numbers, but you don't want 1,400 yards. You don't want Hearns having double-digit touchdowns necessarily. You'd like him to be around 7 or 8, A-Rod to be around 11, Marquise to be around 8. You know, somewhere in there would be absolutely ideal. Efficiency, you know, big. The interesting thing could be, and I'm sort of taking a while to get to the point, could they have fewer catches, more yards per catch because of the way the defenses are forced to play the run? That is okay to happen. That, you know, I think that would be a way of having everybody operating at maximum efficiency and taking advantage of these guys' skills. Because in this day and age, even if you think you're going to be a running team, wide receivers are going to get opportunities to make enough plays to be noticed. To be happy, most wide receivers aren't happy.
So it brings us to the question that neither one of us can answer, and that is Fournette.
Right.
And that is so important because they're putting so much, fourth pick in the draft,
mm-hmm.
you're putting so much on his shoulders. Now, there was a crew following him around here today. I mean, the kid is brand new to the NFL,
sure.
and yet people are pointing at him.
Sure.
The weight of this team is going to be partially carried by him no matter what anybody does to alleviate that. So I'm anxious. I guess the week that we go to New England and practice right. with the Patriots will be that first time where we really get a chance to see him.
Yeah, and really with the running back, it's so tough to know how they're playing until the preseason. And even then, I mean, there's something about getting the right number of carries, getting into the third quarter. It's really tough. A guy can look spectacular, and that's usually a good sign in the preseason. But you also see guys who just aren't preseason running backs because the offensive line isn't, you know, running game is so regular season oriented. I think the reality, sort of getting back to the receiver point also, realistically, Fournette could have an impact on this team, should have an impact on this team. Realistically, I don't think Fournette is going to be running for 140 yards every game. Even if he's really, really effective, there are going to be enough games where you don't run efficiently in the NFL. Because that's just, even the Titans last year had games where they didn't run effectively. That doesn't
here
always
here on Christmas
work.
Eve, right?
Right. Well, and others. A really good running team in this day and age still doesn't get over 120, 100. I mean, every game. There are spots where the passing game has to pick it up. That's going to be the mark for this passing game this year. Can they come through when they're needed? And I'm saying if the running game is as good as we think that they want it to be.
I think we established last week that it's really tough to make a blanket statement about OTAs,
mm-hmm.
which is why I started with one for you, by the way.
Sure.
I did think that on Friday, Blake Bortles had a pretty efficient day.
Today, you mean?
Today.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote a few things down, which you can't share, but he had four or five passes that I wrote down in my notebook saying, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were a few that weren't very good. But again, I've said all along, people don't quite grasp it. I don't care about that with him because I know that it's going to be. So I think he can be successful having a few that are like, whoa, as long as those whoas aren't going back for six. Turn those into critical errors.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. I thought he had some passes today where you went, okay.
Well, one of those went to Allen Robinson on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that caught my attention wasn't the catch or the throw as much as it was the positive body language between those two.
Yeah.
Because one of the stories that really wasn't told much last year was that there was some friction there.
Yeah.
You know, those two guys, very competitive, there were times when they were not the best of friends.
Right.
And it was all based on football. And to see the two of them high-fiving today, that's a really important sign for this football team, because in 2015, when there were things that we could point out, they were pretty much 5-15.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to remember about what you just said is any friction that existed was purely based on probably young guys being frustrated
by lack of production
with what's going on.
Right.
And sort of that feeling you get where it's like, how do golly, as they say, which they probably said in different words, but you definitely want that somehow to get back to that feeling you had in 2015 where Hearns, A-Rob, and Bortles all looked like they were having fun. And they weren't winning, but they were sort of starting to reach that, boy, this is what we could become. And there was hope. And you add Marquise Lee to that hope, who, again, I still feel like is the guy who could wind up being the Sports Center guy on this team.
Yeah.
And if you add that in there, those things can be fun. And Marquise, to me, every time I've had a chance to see him, has done a couple of things with that unbelievable body control athleticism he has, where he's just graceful, that you think if you can get this guy the ball, he can turn 12-yard gains into 30-yard gains very quickly.
Well, all of that chemistry and fun and magic in that 15 season between the Allen brothers and Blake, that gave them the expectation that last year they would take a huge step.
Sure.
Right? I mean, though it's tough to go above what they did that one year.
Well, there was an
expectation. That was where the frustration was.
That they would take a step in areas where it mattered. As we've talked about, they had unbelievable stats that year.
Right.
But the offense was not an offense that was conducive to winning. It was conducive to showing its unbelievable potential. But it had so many long stretches of three and out, three and out, three and out. That's where consistency came in. It's where decision-making from the quarterback came in. That's what you wanted to see last year that you didn't see. And even more than the accuracy, and we've talked about accuracy. You know, you and I started talking about it last summer with Blake. Even more than accuracy, I think it's the decision-making and somehow being able to keep you from having these stretches of three and outs that have been the Achilles heel for this team for too long.
You know, it's funny because I feel like for the last 10 minutes, we've been kind of just, it's obtuse. You know, we're kind of talking in wide platitudes about the offense because the pieces are there and how are they going to assemble them and will Blake have gotten better?
The wide platitude.
Right.
We don't know that question.
But on the other side of the ball, we've got some hard corners that we can put our hands around. You know, you can see the difference in the depth up front.
Yeah.
With, you know, when you bring Calais Campbell and put him next to Malik Jackson, last year you saw Malik out there and you knew that offenses were shifting to take care of Malik.
Right.
Because they didn't have to worry about anything else. But now you've got Yannick Ngakoue on one side and Calais Campbell on the other, and Malik can do so many things inside. Now add to the mix a guy that I can't stop watching him, and that's Dante Fowler Jr.
Mm-hmm.
His athleticism is beyond freakish.
Well,
the things
and
that he can do.
Calais pointed that out this week. One point on Calais and Malik, for me to Dante, watching individuals today, meaning individual drills right before they start, they just look different.
Yeah.
You know, you think of Calais Campbell as this giant of a man because he is. He's 6'8". But even Malik, when he's standing around the other, he stands out. Now, some guys stand out and they can't play, and so it doesn't matter. These two guys are physically different guys that your eye is drawn to, and when you start combining that with ability, then you might have something special on the defensive front. I agree with you about Dante Fowler. To me, he is the biggest question on this defense, and he's the most important player on this defense, because what they missed last year when they were the number six defense is they missed creating turnovers, and I believe they missed creating turnovers because they could not disrupt when the other team had the pass. That's in this league, you can talk about forcing fumbles, interceptions. Most game-changing plays come when my team on defense knows your team on offense has to throw. They didn't disrupt in those situations enough. Dante Fowler should be a guy who disrupts. He was drafted to disrupt. I talked to him today after practice. He says all the right things. He he brings up, I need to get better pass rush moves. I need to work on my fundamentals pass rush. I need to be smarter. I've learned from my mistakes. All of these things he addresses without me having to ask the question. It's in his mind. You would rather have him saying that than not saying that. Now, does that translate to the field? And I think that is 1B on the storylines behind Blake Bortles.
You know, I asked Calais yesterday, you know, who's at your feet, right? If all these young guys are supposed to be paying attention to you, mm-hmm. if your leadership and your ability were brought here at, what, about $15 million a year, who's there? And he said both 91 mm-hmm. and 56 were there. And the 56 part of it is the, because we saw what Yannick could sure. do, right? And you know that he is a put-together guy. He's a step ahead in terms, I think, of the maturity level
right.
than Fowler.
And to your point, from day one last year, he was a guy who brought with him the idea of, I must learn fundamentally. I must do everything 24/7 to get better. He understood that part of it. Dante even admitted, one of his quotes today was, I was like a deer last year.
Yeah.
Meaning he didn't, you know.
Oh, but when you watch him run,
sure.
Oh, does he look like a deer?
So,
I mean, in the good way.
But as you said, if that's true, which we have no way of knowing, but if Dante is really at Calais' feet, listening, watching, learning how to use his hands, learning how to go on the practice field, develop moves, and then take those moves. As Calais said yesterday, he used the phrase, talking about Smoot, hey, don't disappear me when you have a helmet on, meaning a lot of guys disappear when they have pads, which Dante did a little bit last year.
Well, we saw Dante this time last year. We both raved about it.
Right. So that's the key. Can Dante learn those professional football defensive end things, which are hands, knowing how to study film? Can he take that into having pads on? And he can't wait for that. That was his quote today. It'd be a first quote in my story. He can't wait to get pads on in July to see what he can do.
Because when you look at this defense, unlike the offense, you can see where all the pieces are in place, and you've got good players
right.
front to back, 1 through 11.
And maybe even 1 through 15 on that front.
Right.
But the question is what?
The question is, who's going to be the guy to tip the pass, to make the right. quarterback throw an errant ball, to throw it before he wants to? Who's going to be that explosive, dynamic player that all of a sudden turns a game right. around? Because if you remember, he wants to do it a couple plays a game. The Denver game here last year, mm-hmm. Jaguars were in that game to the end, and Von Miller did nothing until the final series, and on first and third down,
yep.
he bull rushed the pocket
right.
and broke up the play before it ever got started.
Right.
Game over.
And that was
Von
really
Miller
the game
won it on two plays.
Where I started, I think, harping on what the Jaguars defense wasn't last year. And believe me, as a football guy, I admired what they were. They could stop the run. They were locked in. They had a tough task with the offense being as inefficient as it was
yeah.
most of the time. But it did not make enough plays. Now, often when you're not ahead, it's hard to do that. So they had their hands tied a little bit. But, for example, what you're talking about, when you have the game in your hand, who's going to be that guy that it's hard to do it from the back? Meaning they have Jalen Ramsey, who's a playmaker. No matter how good you are at corner, it's hard to make the impact play.
Aqib Talib did not make those plays.
Disruption up front.
Chris Harris did not make those plays.
Right.
When the game mattered, when the Jaguars were about midfield, I think they were at the 45, mm-hmm. 46-yard line, looking
right.
for another first down to try right. to get down the field. And I had been looking at Von Miller the whole game, going, well, you know, $19 million a year guy, right. where is he? And then, bang, when they needed him the most.
And what you find is that's not a fluke. You know, I covered the Colts for 10 years. Everybody knows that. Freeney and Mathis would be quiet, 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 third and seven, two-minute drill, the ball's on the ground, the game's over. And they knew that would happen. They trusted it. It didn't happen every week, but over time, you believed that was a team strength of yours.
Yep.
Denver believes that they are going to win that game because they are going to get pass rush at the moment in time because they've done it. That's what the team has to get. I'm not saying that Ngakoue can't be that guy.
Well, but he's not the athlete that...
But Fowler, I guess the point is you need more than one.
Yeah,
and
but
right
Fowler
now
has
they've
the
got
qualities to be that Von Miller explosive athlete. Yannick is a hardworking guy, and
right.
he could be a 10 sack a year guy
right.
and an impactful player and a highly paid player. But when you put them on the field next to each other,
right.
Dante stands out more than Yannick, but from his athleticism.
Think about the difference if what we're talking about happens. The difference in this defense last year compared to this year should be Dante Fowler, pressure in key situations. Yannick Ngakoue, 8-sack guy maybe turns into a 10 who starts doing a little bit of what we're talking about Fowler, and then Calais is the veteran who figures out a way to make impact, where now you've got three rather than about a quarter of a big-time up-front situation. That's what you need to start being a great defense. They have the pieces. Can they do it?
Let's end it on that. I'm hungry. Sounds good. I want to eat.
I ate, but I'll end it.
All right. Here we go. That'll do it for Senior Moments. Folks, enjoy your weekend, and we're back midweek next week because I'm out of time.
Fair enough.
All right. That'll do it. Thanks, guys. Bye, Joe.